Welcome back. In this segment, we're going to talk about push notifications. So push notifications are is the way that we can send sort of unsolicited messages to an application running on your phone.
I think there's a better way of putting it than unsolicited. But what Andy means is that this stuff happens out in the big wide world, and it has to have a way of saying to your phone, hey, I've just happened. It's come into stock. That lens you've been searching for all over town is now in a photo shop near you. And at that point, there has to be a way the phone has to get this message and do something with it.
Indeed.
And that's what we mean. Yeah.
And yes, that's what I mean.
Yes, okay.
Lest there be any confusion.
Only about lenses,
server,
though.
Actually, it's put better on this slide. Server-initiated communication. Now, the reason why this is important, if you're not used to mobile, the problem with any mobile device, one of the good things about a mobile device is that we can be connected to a data network. We can communicate with cloud services. The difficulty, if you like, with these is that because the device is obviously mobile, it's getting handed off from mast to mast as you're travelling around. You know,
yeah, and if you carry it to Wales, it stops working. Apparently, yes.
Well, we do actually. You'd be surprised to know we do have mobile phones in Wales.
Gosh,
yeah. But we do have mountains and we have tunnels and all the kind of things that get in way of a good, solid connection. But essentially, mobile phones are mobile. You get handed off from mast to mast. Your actual IP address on your phone is changing a lot, all the time. It's very dynamic. And also the way that the telcos organize their networks is that you're hidden off behind all sorts of...
Yeah, you never know what your phone IP address is. And if you do know, it's meaningless because you can't use it for anything.
So the point is that if you've got a cloud service and you've suddenly got, you've had a call in from a customer and you want to send, you want to notify somebody out on the phone about they need to go and do something, well, yeah, you can ring them up or you can send them an SMS, but maybe you want to communicate with an app that maybe you want to send something to a tile on the phone or something like that, and you want to draw their attention to this in a different way. You don't know what the IP address of that device is, so you cannot, in the normal course of things, just say, okay, that IP over there, send it a message. And the way that we've solved this in the past is usually, essentially, you have to kind of poll for updates.
Yeah. And that flattens your battery.
It is no good. Absolutely, it's no good at all. So what push notifications is kind of built on top of same kind of technology that underpins the email on the phone. So this is how you get email updates when mail comes into your Outlook account on your Exchange server. We have these very, very long-lived HTTP requests that take very little resources. It posts a request out to the server, and it just sits there for ages and ages, like half an hour. But if it doesn't actually return, because an HTTP request is a request response protocol. You send a request to the server, it sends a response. It's what underpins the web, really. For web browsing, for example, you send a request to a web server, it sends you back a web page. And that usually is very, very quick. But with these kind of technologies, it has a very, very, very long response time. So the phone will send a request, and it doesn't expect...
So it's like a very slow poll.
It's like a very slow poll, very, very efficient poll.
And you get an answer back either in an hour or real fast if something's happened that you care about.
Yeah, yeah, that's right, yeah. So it either times out, and then it issues another one, or, as Rob says, something happens on the server, and it needs to send you something. And this technology underlines the push notifications and the email. One of the things you can do with push notifications is send messages from a server to an app that is running. Another thing you can do is send them to a Toast pop-up, a little pop-up message that will appear on the screen. And the third thing you can do is update the tile. And now you only get a tile on the start screen if the user chooses to do that. You have to actually go onto the start menu and tap and hold on it, and one of the options on there is pin to start. But if you do, then you've got your own app up there. Then through push notifications, you can update the content on this tile. So they're kind of like a shortcut to the app. Obviously, you tap on the tile, you're going to open the application. The tiles, there's two sizes, small and large. The large ones are not available for the use of third-party apps at the moment. And you can obviously put static content, or you can update the background image, and you can update the number on it as well. So there's an example there of the phone showing that you've missed 25
calls. Yeah.
People love you. Hey.
Or not. Yes.
Yeah, so like I said, three kinds of notifications. The raw ones are actually application specific. So you just send a bucket of bytes to the app if the app is running. So this is your web service, okay, is sending to your, to a phone one of these kinds of notifications. The raw one is application specific. So if the app is running, it will receive it. If the app is not running, it will not. A toast and tile are both more at the phone level, so it's something that the phone understands. So a toast is a little pop-up that appears at the top of the screen. The content inside it, as I'll show you in a short while, if the app is running, it's just sent directly to the app. So if the app is currently the one that is in focus, is on the main screen, then that will be delivered directly to the app. So if the app is not running, then it will appear as a pop-up at the top of the screen. The final one is the tile update, the notification. Again, the specific XML schema, that is never delivered to the app, and that will only be used to update a tile on the start screen if indeed the user has selected that the app tile is pinned to the start screen.
The idea is that for toast and tile, the user goes, oh, I've got something, and indeed. Then fires up the app to see what it is.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So the tile content consists of these bits. You can specify a background image. There is the text that appears on it, usually the name of the app. You have that on the top right corner. You can send it an integer, and that's just displayed up there as a count. And put all those three together, and you get what the app user actually is seeing on that tile. As it says, you don't have to use all of these elements, so you can use some, all, or none of these on your tile. It make not much sense to have none, really, would it?
A blank's appeared from blank Chester, telling me nothing. Yeah.
Blank in Blanksville.
That's it, right. That's the place, yeah. So, yes, you put things on there, guys. Makes more sense.
So a toast notification, as I said, if the app is running, the content is just delivered to the app as a string value dictionary. But essentially, you send two text fields in a toast notification, and the application icon is used that you specified in the Zap, which is also what the user sees on the start menu. But you'll see a miniaturized version of that in a toast, so you see that on the left, and then two text fields, and it's pops up for a short period. If the user taps on the toast, then it will actually open the associated application.
And it says at the bottom, if you want your app to do these things, the user has to agree to them happening on the phone as well.
Yeah. That's right. What that is about is if you read the marketplace submission guidelines, you'll see that if you're going to start using push notifications for this kind of thing, which is a potential source of irritation, then you must... A, ask the user at the first time you subscribe for these, the code runs to actually set this up. You must ask the user for an opt-in. You must say, we're about to
You might get
this.
Messages
Are
from
you
your
okay
application.
This?
Is that okay?
That's right. And you must also provide a way for them to turn it off in the UI of your app if it turns out to be the most annoying feature encountered.
If someone's built a new farm... For example,
yes.
Keep being told that. I want to know about farms. Anyway, moving on.
So these are the components. Obviously, on the left, we have your application is running on the phone. Your application, hopefully, is running on millions of phones.
Absolutely, yes.
But we'll consider one phone for the time being. So your application is running on there. You also have, down at the bottom right, is the Microsoft-hosted server. So the push notifications service... is a service run by Microsoft to create this infrastructure that your apps can make use of. And on the top right, it says third-party service. What that means is actually is your web server. It's your service that you've written that is the cloud part of your application. It's what is determining what information you want to send that you're going to use on the tile update or what information you're going to send in a raw notification.
So when you ship your app, you have to ship the program and then provide some kind of a web service to actually track the stock levels, play the game,
or
blah,
whatever.
Blah, blah, whatever. Yeah.
So it could be an Azure, it could be an in-premise web service or you could could have an Azure service.
In the cloud somewhere,
Just out there. It's out there on the internet. So... your application, first thing it does is it will use the push notification client class that's provided for you in the Windows Phone 7 libraries, and it uses calls on that to talk to the Microsoft service, and the service will return to your instance of your app on that particular phone. It establishes a push endpoint and it returns a unique URI for your app on that phone. So if you have got your app running on a million phones, then the push service will return a million different URIs. Unique URIs.
This is a magic key, which is going to link your phone to the notifications for that application on the phone.
Yep. That's right. So, yeah, this magic key, your application on the phone, then has to send that off to your web server. So you kind of subscribe to your own web service, if you like. So it'll call, make a call to your service, and you have to write all this stuff on the web server.
You're just pushing the database.
You say, here I am, and by the way, this is my unique URI.
It's like saying, if you need to call me, this is my number, kind of thing. Yeah.
So then, obviously, there's some logic that you determine that's running on your web server that decides when it's got a notification it wants to send to your application. So at some point in time, something has happened. A new service request has
come into stock. Yeah, that lens has arrived.
Hey! Yeah, there's a hurricane warning in wherever, whatever. So at that point, in order to send the message to the phones, your application running on all these phones who have subscribed, it will then use an HTTP post to post the content of the message to the Microsoft service. And there are three formats, as you'll see, for that, depending on those, according to which kind of notification you're trying to send. The raw one, which is just application-specific data, the toast notification, or a tile notification. So they have different formats. But the process is always the same. It will post it to the Microsoft service. And then, of course, the Microsoft service takes care of sending it in an efficient way to the phone, using these long-lived HTTP requests. So it's very efficient for battery, no polling required from the phone. It just, the messages are delivered if they can. There's no guaranteed delivery.
I mean, the point here is that at this point, your app's doing nothing. It's waiting to be called, and there's no work you have to put in. Yeah. There's no payment required to use this. It just does this for you. Yeah.
So the push notification will be sent from the Microsoft service to the phone. If your app, and if it's a raw notification, it will be delivered to your app. If it is currently the running app, is the foreground app. If it's not, that just disappears into the ether. Toast notification, again, will be delivered to your app if it is running, or it will appear as a pop-up on the front top of the user's screen.
I've heard the number 8 seconds in that context. Is that significant? It's the sort of, you have a few, the user has a few seconds to respond to that.
Yeah, right? It pops up for a few seconds.
Yeah, and then goes away again.
That's right, yeah. And the third one is, if the user has pinned the tile to the home screen, the tile notification will update the tile. So those are the three kinds. But that is the process.
So the tile one's a good one to use if you want it to be under the user's nose at all times. So once they've got the notification, the tile will sit there and say, hey, something's happened here.
Yep.
And that will drive the user to press it when they come back to the phone and see that.
Yep. That's right. I mean, the classic example of that is the email tile that, you know,
you'll
see a number appear on it if you've got unread emails, which immediately drives you to tap on it and it'll open the email application. So this just code really is just an example of what your web service will do to talk to the Microsoft notification service. So it will use the usual HTTP web request classes to communicate with the push notification service, and it has to pass in various bits of headers. The format is well documented, so I'm not going to go into a huge amount of information.
There's some nice strong examples of this both in the training kit and on the actual help pages for these services, which you can pretty much cut out and paste into your code, and it just works.
And we've got a demo coming up where we show this all working. And then your web service, obviously, HTTP web response at the bottom, sends all this data off to the notification service and waits for the response. The response, which I'll talk about a little bit later, gives you a bit more information on back to your web service about the validity of the URI for that phone. So you'll get notifications when those URIs expire and are no longer valid. So your service can do kind of bit of self-maintenance here to make sure it's only working with a list of valid URIs. So this is what a raw payload would look like. I mean, it can be anything. In actual fact, it's a bucket of bytes. In this case, we're sending XML because that's a good way of communicating stuff. But the point is, this is a raw one, so it will only be delivered to your app if it is running. So clearly, this is application-specific content, and it can be whatever makes sense for you in your application.
So if you're doing a turn-by-turn game against somebody and both guys have got their checkers program running, then this would be not a bad way to pass that around. So you could pass moves between the thing, and they just come in as, you know, pawn to king 4 kind of stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, that's right. The toast message, now this is, again, this is a specific XML format. So we have to send a block of XML over, and this goes down. There's an example of the toast message appearing on the top of the screen there.
So the phone picks it up and decodes it and puts that on the toast message for you.
That's right. But if your app is running, you'll get a shell toast notification received event firing in your app, and you'll get those two text values, which otherwise would be used in the pop-up on the toast, will actually be delivered to your app as a string-valued dictionary.
Right.
String-keyed, string-valued dictionary. And the final one, the tire message, is a specific block of XML, never delivered to the app, and as it says there, the image path, count, and title are all in a string format. So there's some limits on the background image path can actually be images in your, when you install your application onto the phone, it could include the tile images as content in the Zap.
Yeah.
So there's two ways of doing this. You can reference, kind of a local resource, one that's been installed with the app, or you can reference a URI out on the internet so it can go and fetch it from the internet. But there are limits there. Mustn't be bigger than 80K, maximum download time of 1 minute. But this is for tiles, so we're not talking about time critical.
So if they fetch a download one from a server, you could change that over time at the server end and then just pick it up and get the latest one.
Yep.
Okay.
Exactly so. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So I mean, we've built an app where the colour of the tile changes according to the criticality. You know, time's counting down. Something awful's going to happen in a few minutes. And we just basically send the number of minutes left in the number bit of the tile notification, but the URI to the image changes according to how critical we're getting. Yeah. So. A lot of words. The easiest way of seeing this is there is an absolutely superb lab on this in the developer training kit where you can build all this up. I'm going to simply just walk you through how this works. So you have to run Visual Studio's administrator because the solution that you are provided with as your starting point has in it a WCF service that you run on your desktop, so you don't need to have a network for this. Well, you do have a network. You have to, no. Let me backtrack. You absolutely have to have a network for this, because otherwise you won't be able to talk to the Microsoft Push Notification Service, which is required for all of this to work.
Yeah, but as Andy says, if a program tries to do things like web services and stuff, if it's not running under admin, it won't be allowed to function. So
What I was trying to say, failing to say, was you don't need an external web server to run this lab.
You can do it all on one machine.
Yes.
That's right.
Thank you.
When you do it by, you right-click on the Visual Studio, start in admin, fire it up, and then everything comes out in the wash. Otherwise, you get errors saying, I can't make a server with this.
That's right.
And, I've done that.
So, This solution has got three projects in it, and what this is, Push Notifications is the phone client, and this is a kind of a weather service. It's nice, simple, very beautiful app.
Actually pretty. Yeah, the graphics are great.
And then the other two in here are weather and notification sender utility. So weather is a WCF service, so this is a good example of the kind of service that you would write to provide push notifications to your application.
But you could use it for other things as well, couldn't you?
And the third one, Notification Sender Utility, actually just creates, is a general purpose library that you'll be able to reuse, because what it is all the code you would use to format the different kinds of messages.
All right, so you can build them.
So in here we've got, how do you do that?
Control and then the scroll wheel.
Yeah.
Whilst you're in the
window. Right way.
Click in the window first.
Oh, okay, right, there you go. Learn something every day. Thank you, Rob.
I have my uses.
So you can, for example, there's three methods in here: send raw notification, send toast notification, and send tile notification. And then they, there's the prepare toast payload, which shows you how to put a toast payload together. There you go, that's the XML. That's an example of producing an XML document that conforms to the schema required for a toast notification. There's the tile one, which is another slightly different format, a schema for XML, but there you go. There's the count and the title and the background image and the stuff that you need to put into this.
Yeah, I mean, these things should meet up with Mr. Block and Mr. Copy and then appear in your programs. I mean, this is how you do it.
And then they all eventually come down to the send notification by type function, which calls in turn send message, and inside that you'll find all the HTTP web request stuff that you need. There are some headers that you need to put on it. Just to go to the definition of those, you can see here you've got to stick a few of these headers onto that HTTP web request. But this essentially is reusable code, so you can just take this and reuse it. The service itself, let's run it up. So there's our client. And I've got some breakpoints in there, but this web service, WCF service, actually has a WPF front end on it as well. It's a all singing, all dancing thing. So this is a bit of a UI that allows you to decide what kind of logic you want to send to the client.
So we're actually making the weather at the moment.
We are making the weather.
Fantastic.
I'll come back to that in a minute, because first of all, at the moment we've got no active client, so nothing is registered with our service at all. That's because our app over here, which is just in startup, I've set a breakpoint, so we're on a breakpoint here. So the first thing we want to do, and this HTTP notification channel is a class in the Microsoft.phone.notification namespace, so this is provided for you. This is the client-side programming API to notification services. So this is in your app. We go and find an existing channel. So if we've registered before, the notification client on the phone will know that we've already subscribed.
So this is the kind of thing, if you've been tombstoned, and when you come back, you might well have a channel still available for you to use in your application.
Exactly this. So again, this is all best practice, reusable logic here. So here we've broken on this breakpoint, and the first thing we're going to do is see if we've got an existing channel, because the HTTP notification channel service is on the client on the phone, which is part of the phone infrastructure, knows if you've already got a channel. So if you come back from tombstoning or something, you may find that you've already got a channel established. So this is reusable logic you'll be able to use over and over in your client applications. This is the general pattern of what you're going to want to do. So we'll just step through this. We check, have we got a channel? We haven't, because this is the first time we've run. So we're now going to try and create a new channel. I'm just going to let this run. And then next thing is we need to subscribe to the various events that are going to happen. The channel URI updated is when we've got the URI, our unique URI for the app on
this
phone.
This is an asynchronous call, isn't it? You say, can I have a key, please? And at some point later, a key will be delivered to you by another call into your application. Yeah.
And then the other ones on here, well, obviously an error has occurred. The other ones is when we get an HTTP, a raw notification, we get an event fired. And the bottom one is if a toast has come in and the app is running, we'll get that event fired. So again, let's let that run. And it's trying to open the channel. And it's talking to the cloud, waiting for a response from the service. There we go.
And there it is.
Now it's talked to the push notification service out on the web, and the Microsoft service has returned to us a unique URI just for this particular.
And there it is.
And there it is. It's HTTP 1.
You can put that into your browser, I guess, and just press return, and that would cause the notification to fire, pretty much.
Well, no, notifications have to be sent from your service, remember. So.
And you can post it too.
So that is just the UI. It really is just a badge, a label.
A GUID.
It's a GUID. So we've got our channel. Let's let it run again. And then, so now what has happened is the app on the phone has done its kind of initialization with the Microsoft notification service. So the next stage is to talk to our service and say, hey, I'm here, and this is my GUID.
If you need to tell me things, use
this. This is the address to use. So this is what this is doing. let that run, and then we can, the next last bit about this setup is to actually allow Toast notifications for this particular application. So this is our app talking to the push notification client and the phone and saying, oh, by the way, I want to have Toast notifications. Now, this is the bit where you need to ask your user, okay, for permission, basically, yeah. Which isn't done in this app. It's the only bit of good practice it doesn't demonstrate. But if you submit an app
to Marketplace...
You would do
that on installation. If you have you could use one of these storage settings and I said it's basically say, I have asked the user.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Yeah. But yeah, you must put some UI into your app to ask your user to opt into these things. So that's that bit. And then I think we're good to go. So if we go back to our client, which is here, if you look down the bottom right, it now says Active Clients 1 because it has received that, it has processed that subscribe call that our app just made to it. It knows it's got a client out there, and now we can start sending stuff to it. So let's bring the phone up as well. So there's the basic URI. It just says City 80 degrees.
And we're seeing that because the application is running at the moment, isn't it?
Its default page.
That isn't a really big tile.
No,
that's just
right.
Our program running. Yeah.
So. In Redmond today, it's pretty cloudy today, actually. Temperature, what is it, 68, 72? It's about right, isn't it?
Yeah. How clever.
64, yeah, even new, that's amazing. so we can send a raw HTTP message to that app, send it over, and there we go, and it's been processed. That's been processed by, I didn't set a breakpoint on it, but it's been received in the app as a message. It's processed it, and it's updated the UI.
And it's important to make the point that this has actually gone out into the cloud,
yep.
Fired the service. The service has then sent the event back to the phone, and the phone app has then picked it up. So this is not just running on Andy's machine. If you could look inside this little cable here, you could see stuff going up the wire and back down again because it really is doing the job.
Yeah. So what's the weather in London?
Cloud. Just put cloudy because that usually works.
Snow and 93. Global warming
for
you.
Snow and 93. Hey, if we see the news, freak weather in London today.
Sorry.
The snow fell on the...
Did we do that?
was that us? It could have been... Yes, it could happen.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that was a bit silly.
Only a bit. A bit so loud.
Paris is always sunny and and 88, yeah. So we're going to send that as a... now, actually, what we're going to do is we're going to send a toast. So we need to type any... Rob is fab as a toast message. And we're going to send that. Now, the app is running, and it completely crashed. I don't know what happened there. Other than
is
that,
it because
clearly
the app's been
error.
Sent a toast that it wasn't expecting, or it hasn't signed up for? Yeah. Okay.
Don't do this at home, folks. If you run through the lab, clearly we've made some error in this that you obviously won't make. But what we'll do is we'll just run that up again and pretend that never happened. But the point is that
it's always suspicious when the first one works a treat, and everything's magical and happening at enormous speed. And the second one decides to play with your brain. But I mean, I was thinking about this. There's no real point. If you get a toast notification when your app's running, then that's not really cricket, is it?
No.
Because the app's already there. So the toast in that case would just disappear into the background. Toast is a way of saying, hey, I've got something for you. Do you want to touch on this part of the screen and wake it up?
Hang on, I had two instances of the client. So let's just start afresh.
But that's not going to help, is it,
no,
really?
No.
Okay.
There we go. So everything's good in my world. We're going through all that registration stuff again. There we go.
And we're back. And how many clients have we got? Just got the one. Okay.
So what I'm going to do now is, I'm going to actually kill this app.
Step out of the application. Okay, so now the app's now no longer running. Yeah.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I'm going to click and hold on this. And I'm going to pin it to the start. So now we've got our tile here.
Okay.
So
now the app is not running now.
The app is not running.
But it's hooked in to the notification service so that if you send it a tile notification, then everything will happen as advertised.
Yep. So we're going. It's ticked. We're going to send a tile update. So
46 degrees in Moscow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
we wish.
It's the fall. Yeah. So we can send that. And there we go. It goes. So they've got the temperature up there in Moscow, and it's clear, which is the, this is blue sky. I mean, if we just change it to
give them a
few showers and send that one, then the tile will update, and there we go, and you get the image up there. So there's the tile update. Like I said, if the app is running, then that wouldn't work. So,
but if we touch on that, we'll get our weather program back, correct?
Absolutely, yes. Here we go. And there it is, yep.
But it will only, but then we'll have to sort out what should appear on the screen, because at the moment that is not showing Mr. Moscow, that's showing...
It's not perfect, yes.
But the good news is that basically all this code is out there in the context of a nice example, and it's eminently borrowable.
Yep.
To use a technical term.
Indeed. Now, I'm going to live dangerously here and actually...
Fair enough, okay. Andy will now live dangerously, okay? So put...
Don't
just,
what?
Just belt yourself into your chairs, folks. This could go one way or another.
Oh, there you go.
So, it's worked.
So, okay.
We got toast. Guys, we got toast.
Toast is up. Okay. So, again, I could tap on that and the app would open. Let's do that. And the app opens. But, yeah, so clearly there's something wrong with my demo about toasts when the app is actually running. We're not being processed.
We have actually been beating Andy's laptop with bamboo shoots for 2 hours to drive out the demons that have infected his demos, but one was left and that was it. So there you go.
There we go. We'll leave it then. There we go. So that's a really good lab for really getting to learn this stuff. So I really advise you spend a bit of time running through that.
One of these things pushes, it takes longer to explain than it actually takes to understand what's happening.
Yep.
And so once you work through what the system has to do to make it go, it actually makes massive amounts of sense. It's really quite nice to understand.
Yep. So there's the lab in the training kit. It's a good lab. Do it and you will understand this stuff. Now, just a quick word before we close this one on response headers. So your web service is talking to the push notification service and it's sending these HTTP requests over to it in order to send. And of course, you'll do that for, if you've got a million versions of your app out there that are all registered with your web service, it will be doing this
everyone
a million
gets
times.
It. Yeah.
I do believe they can throttle your service if you become greedy, if you become sending too much.
If I get a million people buying my app, okay, and they've all paid me a dollar each. That works for me. So I'll live with that.
But the point of this is you'll get some status back. Okay, so for each of your HTTP requests, it will send you back some status headers. That will give you some information on whether the notification was sent okay. So and if these URIs, obviously they expire depending on if your app hasn't got a channel, it'll probably get a new URI. So they're not sort of super long lived and in your web service will have a list of subscribers. So you'll want to pair off the dead URIs.
So to get this clear, this is the way in which your web server that wants to say, hey, the lens has come into stock, can actually know if that message has got through to the recipient and been picked up.
Right. So that can be useful information as well. One last sort of connected thing to do with tiles. This is actually, a tile schedule is how to update your application tile without using push notifications, okay? So you can create a tile schedule which says, okay, every day I want you to go off to a web server out there and fetch a new image.
So if you wanted to have Rob's thought of the day.
Yeah. Well, yes, although it's got to fit on a tile, so it's going to have to be very short.
Most of my thoughts do are of that size, and I aspire to having one a day. One a day would be nice.
Yes.
Yeah, so basically anything which you wanted to sort of push up, you could actually do that just by changing the property.
Yeah. So it does use a notification channel, but it uses the notification client on the phone to sort of handle the plumbing of this, but you're not actually using the notification service. So your web server is not involved in this.
So basically the phone is spoofing this.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it, yeah. So you can go off and fetch a new image, and the image size must be less than 80K and must not take more than 60 seconds to download. And you can set up an interval, how often it will go off and refresh this thing, but the minimum interval is 60 minutes. So we're not talking about every 30 seconds.
Not animations here, then?
No.
No, okay.
But this can be useful for certain things, and very simple to use from a programming point of view. There's an example of using the shell tile schedule object and configuring how often you want it to recur, when to start, and the actual URI where you're going to go and fetch the image from. So that can be a useful way of updating a tile.
So you can make the tile actually refresh from a URL that's out there, yep, so that you can change the picture on your server, and they'll then get that picture. Yeah.
And in fact, it must be a URI on the web, unlike the tile notifications from the notification server, which can use locally stored images. These have to be out on the web. But so a subtle difference there. So, which brings us to the review section of this. So in the usual course of things, we've got six questions here. Some, all or none of which are true or false.
Okay.
So we'll go through these. So push notifications is a thing that allows unsolicited.
Great word, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Server-initiated messages to be sent to phones, which of course is true. So push notifications, should you be careful about using these because they drain the battery? No, the whole point of this is it's a very efficient way of getting notifications to your app without having to do awful things like polling the internet to see if there's any changes for you. In raw notifications, you can send anything that is app-specific.
Indeed you can. I learned that bit.
Yeah. However, toast and tile messages must conform to a specific XML format.
And to make that, you steal the code. Sorry, borrow the code from samples.
Indeed.
It's all there for you. Yeah.
That is all true. Now, when you get a tile update message, the system will automatically start your application.
That would be dangerous if it did.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. The user must tap on the tile in order to start the app, but all you can do is update what they're seeing, but it's up to the user to start the app, so that, of course, is false. And the push notification service is a cloud service operated by your friendly Microsoft.
Absolutely.
And that, of course, is true.
Absolutely friendly, too.
Indeed. So that's it. That was push notifications. Thank you very much for watching.
Thank you.